All right, everybody, welcome back to Pardon on Podcasts. We seem to get in this habit where we take extended breaks, but we're back. Episode 22, very excited. Most of it was my fault this time around. I have been moving and all sorts of craziness going on my end. So these two have been very patient with me trying to get my life together, which may never happen. But here we are, finally I'm able to do it. You can see my background's a little different. I apologize for the disheveled look, but we're here. So welcome, fellas. How's it going?
Pretty good.
You know me, just truck it along.
I do that. All right. Anybody played any golf lately?
I got back from Palm Springs.
And how did that go?
It was beautiful. It's actually, the winter here is pretty mild. The golf courses are probably going to be opening up. Actually, I think today some of them opened up in Minnesota, but Palm Springs was like 75 and sunny, and I played one of the most beautiful courses I've ever played at Desert Willow. It was,
I saw that on Instagram,
amazing. The game wasn't there, but it was a good time.
That's fair. Hard when you live in Minnesota.
A little rusty.
Yeah,
it's been like 75 every day in Dallas, so
that's crazy.
I've just been hitting golf balls in my garage. That's all I've been doing. Just working on the swing and just making sure my ball striking's there. As long as I can hit the center of the face of a golf club, I'm pretty confident I'll be somewhat okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, most people are, if they can hit the center of the face over and over again.
Yeah. So as long as I can keep doing that, I'll figure it out when I go to Arizona.
We're all going to be in Arizona together.
Yeah. I might have my new clubs by then too.
Nice.
Wow. What did you, can you share what you're transitioning to?
Yes.
As a
triple diamond, 8 degree.
I smoke,
triple diamond, 3 wood as well. I did the triple combo set. I did, I forgot the U wood. Apex U wood, Tensei black also in the fairway wood. Apex pros for 4, 5, and 6 iron. The MB or CBs for 7, 8, 9. And the MBs for 10 and 11. And then I did 50, 54. And I also got the milled Odyssey 3TS. Don't know if I'm going to game it or not. But nice. Now I have one milled and one AI, like regular standard AI one putter. So yeah. I can actually compare and contrast and see what I'm going to end up with. And got myself some new Chrome Tour X golf balls too. And
nice.
Go.
I do like the 3TS. I think that's a cool play.
Yeah. No, it's a cool looking putter. So I don't know if I'll stick with it, but we'll see, you know.
Yeah,
so I hope they do show up in time for Arizona, so I have an excuse if I suck. So,
what's your highest lofted wedge?
58.
Okay, I've been debating on what wedge lofts to go with this year.
I can't do a 60 for me. I can open and close a 58 any which way that I want. Yeah. I feel like with a 60, I struggle with closing that face down.
Yeah, I agree.
As much, you know what I mean? I feel like 58 is just more versatile. I don't know why. That's just my brain at work.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree with that. I think, like, what can you... you can. I feel like you can do everything with a 58 that you can do with a 60, right?
Yes, but I feel like you can do everything with a 60 that you can do with a 58.
Yeah. I've always played a 60, so that's kind of like a standard. And then if I need a close down shot, I just go with the 56 because I want to make sure that if I need to get it up and stop it as fast as possible, that the 60 is there for me.
Gotcha. See, for me, I just open up the 58 degree and just right underneath it.
You guys also play, like, your pitching wedges are lower lofted, right? Like weaker lofted than most people. So it makes sense if you guys are playing like higher lofted wedges, whereas like for us mere mortals who can't game with you guys, we have to go like stronger lofted wedges because our pitching wedge is stronger because we're weak and frail.
Weak and frail. No, yeah, that's why I went with the MBs for the 10 and the 11. I mean, there's not a huge... I mean, there's obviously a huge difference in like what the wedges are designed to do compared to like a Jaws Raw wedge.
Yeah,
sure.
But from like pitching wedges, like my 150, my A wedge, or my 11 iron, which is going to be weird to say for a while, is like 140. I just feel more confident with an actual iron in my hand opposed to like a wedge.
Yeah.
Because when I miss with those wedges, I lose it, like the distance loss on it's like that immediately for me.
If I miss it, what's the loss of the MBs in the gap wedge?
It's going to be 50, 40. It should be, my wedges should be set up, I believe it's like 46, 50, 54, 58.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the 4-degree gap. I think it just, to me, I don't like getting bigger than that. Unless for some reason I just nuke one club and I have to weaken something in the bag. But 4 to 5 degrees tops for me.
Yeah.
I like it tight. I have a tight golf bag. I also like it when my clubs bleed into each other a little bit more too, so it gives me more shot options. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can like, oh, I can step on the 8 or lay off the 7. I don't like being like it's either 8 or 7, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's I think that's a pretty sweet setup you have. I mean, I know like so my good friend who's a pro here in town, he's like +3. He's a teaching pro and he still does the same thing that you're doing. Like he does 10 and 11 in the MB and then goes to the wedges. So like that's kind of like what kind of got me, because I always used to do like even pitching wedge is like a specialty wedge, like pitching wedge gap sand, and only had 9 iron. And then he was like, why don't you just try this? And I was like, oh, this is so much better from a distance perspective for me. Mm-hmm. And I really realized that, you know, yeah, I mean, I can use the pitching wedge and the gap wedge for like pitching, chipping, bump and runs, but that's much more rare than when I use them for full swings. Mm-hmm. And it just seems so much better for full swings when you match it up with the iron set. So mm-hmm. I've actually taken that to like my fitting, like through curated or even in person. And I almost entirely recommend to people that they match the approach wedge and, or gap wedge and pitching wedge with their iron set.
Yeah.
I get some pushback sometimes, but
there's actually quite a few pros that actually have an A wedge in their bag too. That's all I got it. Cause the guy that I work with Callaway, whenever I started getting fit with him, he started like, I gave him the information. I was trusting him to make sure I was, you know, gaming something that made sense. He's like, do the A wedge. I'm like, really? He's like, trust me, do the A wedge. He's like, you will see a difference. Also, another thing I like about it is I can shape if you give me an 11 iron, I can shape that shot. You give me a 50 degree wedge, I can't work the ball as much. So I like it. I like hitting like little sling wedges sometimes because I like hitting this like hooky trap draw. But with like 11 iron, I will be able to just with an MB, I can play that shot all day. You know what I mean? Give me a 50 degree, I might struggle a little bit to get the spin on it that I want to hit that trap shot or to get like a 5 yard swing. I can end up behind trees sometimes, and I don't admit defeat. I do not play smart.
Brady, what is your wedge setup? I can't remember. I know that you've told me, but.
Yeah, I typically go 60, 55, 50 in the specialty wedges, and then 45 if. But my iron sets have been throwing me off. The pitching wedge is 47, so I might go 52, 56, 60. So.
Do you match up the pitching wedge with the iron set?
I usually do. I was going to try. I was going to get a specialty pitching wedge this year. The wedges, the RTX 6 in black satin, they don't have the 46 that I would want. So I'm getting that with my iron set this year again.
I got to tell you what I did with my wedges. So I have, I play the Project X LZ 6.5s in my irons. I like having heavier shafts in my specialty wedges. I tried doing the same shaft through all of them. It just doesn't feel right to me for some reason. I like my wedges being very heavy because I already hit the ball 10 miles high. I need to control the spin more. I decided to go black dynamic gold. I think not the X100s, the S400s. S400s in the black Jaws Raw. So I have the black on black for the wedges and I'm pumped about it, dude. I'm so excited.
The S400s heavier than the LZs? Because I thought the LZs were pretty heavy.
LZs, so I have, my shafts are, beautiful. I have the 6.5s that are 125 gram shafts, but I have the modified D4 swing weight. So they're a little bit heavier. The S400s are, I believe, like 130 something grams.
Okay.
So it's slightly heavier. I didn't want to go to like 135, 140 because I felt like that was just way too much. But I found out my driver shaft, I thought it was like 65 grams. It's 70. I didn't know that. I had no idea until I looked it up. So I was like, oh, maybe I should go a little bit heavier and everything. Then like, apparently the club head speed is there.
I like heavier too. I just like the feel of a heavier. Like I like feeling the weight in the club head, like especially descending down into it. Like I love to feel that heavy weight at the bottom of the club.
Are you a grip weight guy at all? Either of you or no? I like a really light grip. I want all the weight in the head is why I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't paid a ton of attention to that. I mean, I like a lot of weight in the head as well, but I mean, I'm just like, the grip for me is all about the feel. Like, I want to feel like it's, I don't want to feel any slickness at all. Like, I want to feel like it's like tacky. Like, I'm going to, like, if I tried to throw it, it would still stick on there. So that's kind of where I am grip wise, is I just like something to feel like it's going to like wrap around and like tack to me.
What grips do you guys use?
I go between this. I love the CP2 Pro because I feel like that will stay tacky. Yeah. And then I also really like the, which is like kind of, I guess, contrary to what I'm saying, but I've been a huge fan of the MCC Plus Fours.
I like tapered. You do the Super Strokes, don't you?
Yeah, great. I got all Super Strokes. I got the S-Tex all of last year, but I'm going with the S-Tex Cord this year because it's awesome.
I have seen a lot of people talk about that grip, and I am a diehard Golf Pride guy. I love my MCCs to death. Standard MCC. I used to play old cords. The Super
Stroke is like exactly like this.
Yeah, see, I grew up playing old cords, like the ones that like blister the hell out of your hands.
Yeah, didn't we all?
I love my MCCs. I can't do things like the CP2s or wind grips. They just, they're like gooey to me. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I almost like a hard grip. It sounds really weird. Like,
that's
everyone's like, keep your grips clean. Like, I kind of like it when my grips get a little bit of wear on them. I almost prefer it. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it's because I grew up never cleaning my grips and I just accustomed to playing the same thing. But like, like worn down grips.
It's a slick grip.
Get the S-Tec cords. You'll love them.
Man, I'm trying to get a deal through Golf Pride, so we'll see. Maybe I'll get a deal through Super Stroke and just complete. Well, I already ordered my clubs, so I'm not going to regrip them. I'll do this tomorrow. But I'm working on a vanity.
I don't play with a glove either, though. So.
I had to because of my eczema. I never used to, but my eczema got so bad that I had to start using a glove.
Oh, yeah. I never used a glove my whole life. Until I didn't even use, like, I played baseball growing up. Never used batting gloves ever. Until I moved to Texas, and then like the first summer I was here, realized like I'm gonna throw a club because the sweat is just like running down my forearm into my hand. Mm-hmm. I'd never experienced that because of the humidity. I was like, "What is happening here?" So I finally, on like super humid days, I'll wear a glove. Otherwise, my grips are just gonna like fly out of my hand. But I just can't. There's something about a glove. Like I know people think. I know. I mean, obviously, everybody plays with a glove almost. It almost feels like there's a barrier to me between the club and my hand. And it feels like I have less connection to it. Almost like, even though it's supposed to be like slicker or tackier, help you grip, it almost feels like I'm prevented from having connection. It always has felt that way for me.
That's funny. I use a glove always, except if I'm inside like 80 yards is kind of my feel area. Yeah. And if I'm 80 yards or less, sometimes 85, sometimes 70, like it, in that area is where I stop wearing a glove because of that, I like the feel of it.
I'm the same way. My only exception to that rule is if I'm hitting a really, really big flop shot is because I don't want the club to turn over.
Yep.
If same. I have to open up that face and that face has to stay open through impact, I will leave that glove on just to ensure that that nothing slips or anything like that because I don't want the face closing. In bunkers, a lot of times out of bunkers, I'll still wear a glove too, because the club can bounce and it can do all kinds of weird stuff. That a little extra bit of tackiness can help bail you out, and I'm not gonna say it saves me, but it can. That little microsecond that can be the game changer in a golf swing. That glove can bail you out sometimes on that with those shots. At least in my opinion, for me, it does. Mm-hmm. I am working on a vanity set though. I did want to talk about this. I met with a guy at the PGA show. He does custom club works, and he's not that big yet. But he is like amazing stuff. Like I've looked at his stuff. It's so good and it's so clean. So I am actually going to have him refinish my Muras. And I'm going to have him do a black PVD finish on them. And I'm going to get some black Project X LZ 6.5 shafts in them. And I'm going to like build like this amazing. I might even like, I don't know what wedges I'm going to put in there yet. But I'm looking at like making this a high end, just gorgeous, pristine, like Japanese forged iron putter set. For the woods, I have no idea what I'm going to do yet.
But game or frame?
Fun. Huh?
Game or frame?
I don't know yet. I think...
You should use it as a reward. So, like, you frame it until you get to a place where it's, like, Hey, man, I'm starting to win these amateur events. Now I can game these bad boys.
I want to get back to going full blades again. I used to really shit on people that played all blades, but, like, I think...
Yes, you have on this podcast, in fact.
Yes, I have. Done that. But I will say this. You know, I practice that Mutra 4-iron a lot, and I stripe it, and there's nothing that feels as good as that. It just doesn't, and if you can strike the ball consistently in the center and play blades, like, you are opening up the golf course so much more. You know what I mean? As far as shot shaping and flighting and everything goes, it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like a year or so out from being able to do that consistently. But playing a bladed 4-iron is horrifying. Like, it is like the Mura, like I've shown you guys in the video camera, I might bring it down to the summit just so you can just see how little this thing is. And it has, like, the set that I have, it has a rifle 5.5 shaft in it, which is not the right shaft for me whatsoever. But the head is, like, that big.
Yeah.
It's just scary, so.
Sure.
All right, let's talk the other stuff.
We can. I mean, that's what this podcast is, right? I mean, like, we've been talking just so, like, the people at home know, too, is, like, we're kind of taking them, you know, we're going to talk about some just, like, golf news, which is what we're going to talk about next. But, like, we really want to kind of focus in on being more, like, gear, fitting, equipment, or perfect stuff focused. And I think that was a perfect way to kind of, like, start things off because, like, we could talk about our gear and how we think about it, how we feel about it. I mean, I thought that was perfect, to be honest. Like,
I do have a gear question for you guys, actually, now that – so,
yeah,
when you do this in fittings, and I know there's just some discrepancy and controversy behind this, but I'm a believer and I'm not a believer in it. Do you think what's more important, shaft flex or shaft weight? Because I talk to a lot of fitters who fit for weight and then they figure it out from there.
Yeah. I typically start with, well, it depends on the golfer. The thing with flex is that there's not a standard, like, a regular flex could be more similar to a stiff flex in another shaft and another brand.
Look at the rifle shafts. Like a 5.5 rifle, if you look at the weight on and the profile, it's still a stout shaft, and it's technically a regular flex.
Yeah. So hand in hand, weight and flex, but weight is typically the better way to gauge.
Because to me, the weight impacts the ball flight more than the shaft profile does.
Maybe, yes.
Not always. I'm just saying as a generality here, like if I'm someone very objectively and somebody goes, I need to bring the ball flight down, the first thing I think is I need to go into somewhat of a heavier shaft and find the right I would much rather go into a heavier shaft with a mid profile, because I think with mid, it still gives the golfer the ability to do things with it. Where if you if you go into
I agree. I think it depends on the golfer because I think we lost PJR.
Oh, if you go into like a low or a high high.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, sorry. You're kind of trapping the golfer into a certain shaft profile, and if you want to do other things with it, it can limit you potentially. You know what I mean? Then again, saying that all my shafts are low, my woods are all low. So, but then again, I hit them 10 miles high. Like you can't put me in a mid to high launch shaft because it just never comes out, never comes down kind of thing. But
yeah,
right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a combination of what you guys are both saying. Like, I think it depends on the golfer, and there's a lot of, like, you know, especially in-person fittings, there's a lot of dynamics that go into that of, like, what you're saying. I'm the same way. Like, I'm a high launch guy. So, like, you have to put me in I'd rather be in a low launch shaft that weighed 105 grams than a high launch shaft that weighed 130 grams. I mean, not that those exist necessarily, but, so that's me personally. Again, I think it depends, you know, like if you're fitting somebody like you guys, you can do a lot more there's a lot more like intricacy. If you're starting somebody that's just beginning, I'm not sure that you need as much like, hey, you need to get the ball in the air. So let's get the ball in the air. Let's fit you for like where you're at. And then you can come back and we can talk shaft weights. You know, again, I think it depends so much on the particular golfer that it's hard to even have an objective like hard line. Though I do think the general rule is, if you want to bring that spin down, you want to bring that launch down heavier, you know, or stronger loft. Like, you want to bring a driver down, you go 9 degrees instead of 10.5. I mean, like, again, but then you get in trouble with that. And we've seen that with guys like PXG. That's like the number one issue that I run into as a fitter is people who get fit by PXG. They want to manipulate the numbers. And so they just put everybody in heavier and lower lofted, right? That's so you'll get a guy who's 70 years old who can hit the ball 180. He's swinging a stiff shaft at 9 degree, and he's just like, yeah. So they got him in the window and is spitting, but he can't hit the ball anywhere. So then he gets misfit. So I think you have to be really careful about that too, of, you know, not just trying to, not that you're doing this, but just not falling in love with the numbers so much that you're like, well, this is a completely wrong profile for this golfer, but I got it to say what I wanted to on the GC Quad or the TrackMan or whatever. Yeah.
What also think it comes down to the type of player that you're fitting. Like, there's some guys that I know that are like, I like playing a low ball flight. I like it low. I like it rolling. I like playing. I know old guys that like land it 20 yards short and run it up to the green. And they're like, I don't want to fly it onto the green. I'm like, okay, well then obviously that changes everything. You know, that's just the type of game you play. For me, I'm the type of golfer where I like flying everything at the pin. I want everything coming straight down on top of it. Like, I don't do the whole like bump and run golf very often. Like, I can do it, and it's a fun game to play. I love links golf, but like, even when I golfed in Ireland and Scotland, I was still pin hunting when I was out there. I wasn't playing many bump and runs out there, except for an exception of a few shots. But it's just, to me, I don't have that. I'm probably, you're probably the same, maybe Brady, and probably you as well. Ryan, maybe a little bit different for you because you play Texas golf. That I am not trained to hit a 160 yard shot that lands, you know, 20 yards short and to the right on a hill and catches the slope and beams towards the hole. Like, that's not the game that I grew up playing. And it's just a hard, you know, I can't visually get myself there to hit that shot. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I can see my target and know what I need to do, but like, it just a lot easier for me to hike the ball up in the air and just go after the center of the green with the baby draw than it is trying to sling one off of a hill and hope it catches a slope and runs up at the right speed. Like, that's it. I love seeing pros hit those shots because it is the most amazing thing on the freaking planet to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. How do you guys fit for golf balls? This is where I struggle, and this is why I'm asking. Do you just go, senior flex guy, you need to be playing super softs?
I mean, again, it's a hard, I'm still learning, you know, like, I think golf ball is like the one area where it's a harder fit, especially for me, just because I don't know, I haven't tested enough golf balls myself to understand the dynamics. Like, I can go off a chart, right? Like, you can look at the timeless chart and be like, well, the Pro V1X is the highest spinning and the AVX is the lowest spinning. So I can like, or lowest launching, whatever. I can manipulate that way, but I haven't just been able to like get, you know, like a dozen premium golf balls from all of these different lines and really be like, okay, what is actually launching lower, higher for me? How does those spin affect? So I just don't know enough, to be honest, besides looking at that. But again, I think I just try to look at the profiles, you know, and be like, my dad is a senior flex guy, but the super soft is just too soft or too senior for him. So he like would play like an ERC soft or a TaylorMade. Why do I have thought bubbles coming up? I've never seen that before. So he'd be like an ERC soft or like a tour response kind of golfer, just because that's his profile. But like a tour ball, he's just, I feel like, spending money he doesn't need to, because he's not getting the benefit out of a Chrome Soft Tour or a Tour X or a TP5 or a Pro V1. I think so many guys, I do think there's a lot of golfers out there who are buying a ball because it's what you're supposed to play. Like, the amount of people that I talk to that are like, well, I've always played Pro V1 just because they were told to play Pro V1, or that's the most number one ball in golf. So I don't know if that even answers your question, but that's kind of how I think about it. I try to be like, you know, if you want a lower spinning ball, try Chrome Soft LS, or now it's the Chrome Soft, which is weird how they just completely revamped their entire thing.
I think they did that to make, there was confusion with the previous line of golf balls with the X and the LS, which one was lower spinning. Everyone thought the LS was their lowest spinning ball, but it wasn't. And just because it had the LS name on it. So I think they kind of broke away from it, so it just made more sense.
Was the lower spinning ball for me, the Chrome Tour X, or the Chrome Soft X.
I mean by their chart.
More than the LS. What?
I said, like, by their chart, that's what I meant. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I was going by. Which is
funny. That is weird.
Is every time I get fit for golf balls, and I can't play this golf ball, I've tried it, I can't play it at all, is the Bridgestone, is like the XS or something like that.
I think a lot of it too is just, Brady, you can chime in here too. A lot of it's so much feel. like I love a putt. Like it's hard to because my golf game is so kind of all over the place that like the older Chrome Soft, for some reason, I love the way that felt on the putter, mm-hmm. but I didn't love the way it felt any other place.
Yeah.
Like it's like, I like a different ball for different shots. So I love the Chrome Soft for putting. I love the TP5 for like around the greens. For some reason, I just spin that the best of any golf ball. I love the AVX for like off the tee or the Chrome Soft LS off the tee. And I love the Tour Response Stripe. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I just like that ball, like on iron shots out of a fairway. I just like, it hits my number and it stops. And that's what I like. Like I want to hit a ball that hits my number and stops. Like if I know that I have 161 to the pin, I want to know a ball that I'm going to hit 160 and it's going to hit and it's going to be in that realm. I don't want it to back up or hop forward a ton. So it is weird how it just seems like there's different balls that fit different parts of my game. And I wish I could figure out, they just need to let you carry different balls for different shots and just set them down.
What ball do you game consistently?
I have been gaming the Chrome Soft LS.
Okay.
That's what I've been playing mostly. I go between that and the TP5X are my two biggest golf balls that I play. Brady, what are you playing?
Pro X. What about you, Brady?
Last year I played Pro V1X for most of the year. I think I'm going to go to the Pro V1 just for a little softer feel. I'm the same way, Ryan. What it feels like off the putter is like one of the most important things for me in what ball I play. So I want a little bit softer. I like the Pro V1 feel. Virtual fitting is kind of tough for golf balls.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The first question that I ask, and probably the most important question that I ask, is what ball do you currently play? And like after we've done the club fitting, so I know how they hit it and their shot shape and their distances, and can kind of get a feel for what that ball is probably doing. And then I ask them what they like and dislike about the ball.
For me, is fitting the golf, the ball to the club kind of thing too. It kind of, for me, at least my logic with it is if I'm putting somebody in something that's very strong lofted. So say, you know, they're a high handicap golfer. But they hit the hell out of the ball. You know, you get those guys that you're like, oh, I hit my 7-iron like 185, but I'm shooting like 105. They just hit the ball hard. You know, at that point, I'm trying to put them probably in something a little bit softer. You know what I mean? Because they're going to need that stopping power. If they're hitting it that hard with like a hot metal pro, you're going to want something that has stopping power. You know what I mean? If I put them in something hard, it's going to make it more difficult for them. And because I know the way you're supposed to fit for golf balls, like you said it, Brady, how it comes off the putter is the most important part. That's what the pros do. They start in the green and they putt and they chip with it and they find the ball that feels right to them there. And they narrow it down to these and they go to the wedges and then they hit those and they narrow it down. Then by the time they get back to the tee, you're supposed to have it narrowed down between one or two golf balls. And you're supposed to fit from, I mean, that's how you're supposed to learn golf, in my opinion, is learn from the green backwards.
Yeah.
It's just hard to do virtually. That's why I was picking your brains. I was like, how do you guys do this? Because like I take a very neutral, general, like it's like I'm not going to say it's not a fitting, but it's the most, I try to give them the balls, not pun intended here, but like the balls in their court kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like this is what I would do in your situation, but like feel is so subjective. Like, you know, I was fitting a guy the other day for shafts and he's like, oh, well this shaft felt firm to me or this felt soft to me. I'm like, that's funny because I've hit these exact same shafts and I got the complete opposite feel out of them than you did. So like, I don't know, like do the opposite of what I'm saying, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it is tough too. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up just playing like whatever ball I found.
Yeah.
So like I might play one hole with a Pro V1 and if I hooked it out of bounds and I had like a, you know, whatever was like a top flight or a pinnacle, whatever I had laying in my golf bag, you just pull out like golf
balls. I literally keep garbage balls in my bag for when I'm playing bad.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I have a pocket specifically of like good golf balls that I've just found on the course. That way, if I'm just having a bad day or I'm just hitting in the water, it happens to us. I will reach in that pocket and start playing like old Pro V1s and Srixons because like, I don't want to lose the golf balls that I play with all the time, you know, it just, or if I'm playing a scramble, you almost never see me game my own ball in a scramble. just because it's like I'm the bomber in the group, so they're like bombs away. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna hit. God only knows where this is gonna go when I'm swinging that hard. You know,
For sure. I also think golf balls are expensive, so I think to ask the average person to be like, hey, you need to buy a box of all of these premium golf balls and play it long enough to actually know what feels right. Like, it's, I think that's a lot to ask. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to buy at full price a box of all of these, you know, every single golf ball and go try it out. So I think that's also a tough thing, is just like, I do understand the kind of concept of like, pick a ball and just play it. It's more important almost just to like pick a ball and play it than it is what ball you're playing, because at least you're going to get consistent feedback, even if that is like not necessarily the best feedback. So just like pick a ball and play it consistently, which I guess is what I've just tried to do, even though like I don't know if the Callaway ball is, I kind of defaulted to it because I got a ton for free. Just like last year, I happened to get a huge like run of LS for free. And so it was just like, it's just easy for me now to play this ball and not necessarily feel like I'm dropping $50 every 2 weeks because I've hooked another whole box out of bounds. And so I think that's, I mean, like for real golfers, if we're talking about that, I think that's a real consideration is, but then you meet a bunch of people who are just like, I only play Pro V1s, which are the most expensive ball, like of the major, of the main manufacturers. You can get into like LA Golf, which is like what, $75 a dozen or something stupid like that. But nobody's playing that ball anyway.
Yeah. My most, speaking of price, my most recommended ball is the Soft Feel. I think it's by far the best ball in that price point. I think it used to be $19.99. Now it's like $21.99 or something. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of the golfers that we fit, it fits pretty well. And super soft. Easy on the pocketbook.
Yeah. No, 100%. So I don't know.
That's a long way
to your question.
Ryan, you hit the nail on the head, though, because this is some guy that's shooting 110 and losing golf balls left and right. Dude, just pick up some nitros. Like, at this point, just like, there's no reason for you to spend $50 on something that's going to last you one round. So your round of golf costs you $50 and you lose a dozen golf balls. So the round costs you $100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just there's no, I'm not going to say there's no point in it, but like, there is a point in the game when you're learning and developing that, you know, until you can, you know, get around with only losing maybe one or two balls, like, don't spend the money. Golf's, and that's purely because golf has gotten so expensive. You know, five, 10 years ago, this probably would have been a different conversation. But now, like, I don't see the point when you're spending, you know, hell, a wedge is, you know, like $170, almost $200 now. This is a wedge, you know, so.
It's crazy. Last thing on the golf ball for me, and then if you guys had anything else, I don't know if you guys ever played these, but actually because of that, because golf balls were so expensive, especially when I was like first married and we just didn't have a ton of money, Strixon used to have a ball called the Marathon. Do you guys remember this golf ball?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I loved it. I thought it did. Like, I don't know why, but just for me, for the way that it felt, for the price, I used to buy Marathons by like, I think they came in like 18 in a box or something. And I would play them because I was just like, this is the best ball that I can like play and honestly feel like I can, you know, like okay buying. Cause I just like, if I lost a Marathon, it wasn't just like, oh my gosh, I just tore up four $1 bills or five $1 bills and threw them in the trash. But you know, like, so I wish they still made that. I don't think they do. I don't think it's around anymore.
Or so, do they? The other day when we were in Palm Springs, there's a golf shop on El Paseo or near there that is like, it's pretty well known. Pete Carlson's, it's been there forever. And every time we go to Palm Springs, we go there at least once just to see the new stuff, whatever. We like to check it out. That store is fun. It's, they had a massive box filled with just single balls, like not boxed or anything. And it said, one dozen for $9.99. And we're like, what the heck is this? Strixon Marathon.
Oh man, that's awesome.
So they're back. They're $9.99 for a dozen. And then we went to our range.
Sign me up.
So the range that we play on, it was Strixon Marathons. So I think they're like a range ball-ish type.
Dang it. I was gonna my new answer to your question, PGR, is I now play the Strixon Marathon.
Well, you should go find them, Ryan.
I'm gonna try. Yeah. I thought they were gone because I hadn't seen them in a long time. I would love just to test them against, you know, one of these tour balls that we now play, just see what the difference is.
Yeah.
I also always loved the noodle growing up, like that noodle that I think TaylorMade owns now. It was a phenomenal ball for somebody. If you don't want to pay a ton of money, get a noodle ball.
I loved growing up. These are my two favorite golf balls. And I wonder if you guys know what they are. I'm sure you guys do. One was the Maxfly A10s. Do you remember those? It was a black A with a red dot in the center.
Yes.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah.
Love those golf balls. And then the Hogan 8. So when Hogan was still Hogan, like truly Hogan, it's changed the last few years. I don't like modern Hogan. But the original Hogan Apex was phenomenal. And then I found out that Callaway actually bought Hogan temporarily just to steal the Apex name.
Oh. Well, yeah, and then Hogan, side note, Hogan is based in here in Fort Worth, and they went out of business.
Yeah.
And then literally like 2 weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, they're like, we're back. Like somebody like resurrected them. Like they were literally dead.
Who owns McGregor and Ram and all of them? They're under the same umbrella as them now.
Oh, is it the dang PG? It?
Yeah. No, they – dude, the original Hogan Apex blades back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, if I could find a set in good condition, I would buy it like that. Those things were so pure. They were amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I may just go playing to the Tour Response Stripe. I don't know why. I love that golf ball. I love it. And it's like $40 a dozen. Just like, sign me up. Like, who am I trying to impress? Like, I don't need to, who am I trying to impress? Like, just go hit your number, right? I don't know. I love that golf ball for some reason. Maybe it's just the pretty colors distract me from my terrible play.
What's going on with the new TaylorMade ball? And this is, I got this through kind of like
the Hold on, let me answer. I'll answer Brady's question, and then I want to hear about the TaylorMade ball.
I didn't hear Brady. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I have every color, Brady. So I have played every color. I have the traditional like lime green, which is like obviously the goat. And then I have blue. I think we have like, there's like a pink one. I got my girls a pink one.
Nice.
Orange. I've played red. And they had a special edition, like, what's the St. Patrick's Day one?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a dark green with a yellow and a shamrock. And I have that too. So, yes, to your question, what color do I play? Yes, all of them. All of the above. I won't play the straight white one. I just want the striped one.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice.
Yeah.
So
you're good.
So apparently with the new TaylorMade ball, apparently my golf spy, and there's been people that are like, you know, they open up the golf balls. Apparently they have been crazy inconsistent with the inside of the core of the golf ball. Apparently one of them had like a freaking hole in it, like a gouge. Like this came from, I'm not going to drop names here. Asking someone higher up in a competitor company what they think of the new golf balls coming out, and we're having a good conversation. What do you know about the new TaylorMade ball? Because I really don't know a whole lot about it yet. I'm going to be honest with it. And he goes, from what I have seen, their manufacturing process screwed something up big because there have been massive inconsistencies when they've been opening up these golf balls, which I was surprised about. But I've always said TaylorMade. I mean, I'm not. TaylorMade has come a long way, and I've actually softened on my perspective on them a little bit here, but they're definitely more of a marketing company than a golf company, in my opinion. You know what I mean? They're like where Callaway puts like all their money in R&D. You know what I mean? TaylorMade is spending a lot of that money that would be in R&D. They're doing it in marketing. You know what I mean? And investing in their players. It is what it is. No one spends more on R&D than Callaway does. From my understanding, not a single company spends more than they do.
And you can tell
in the marketing and their star power that they don't have what TaylorMade has. You know, they don't have the Scheffler, the Rory, the Tiger. You know what I mean? I mean, we have Rahm and Xander right now. And, you know, Rahm's and Liv. Like, I mean, Callaway, in my opinion, is lacking star power. That's just, you know, like a dominant force week in, week out kind of guy. You know, you have Sam Burns, but like they don't have the personality or appeal. You know what I mean?
Okay, I just found this. I can't find the so I just want to read this to you real quick. This is not the TaylorMade thing, but I came across this. My Golf Spy, which we can debate their partiality. I know. And I'm there with you. But I think this is fascinating, even though we can talk about it. It says, best golf balls, according to My Golf Spy's ball lab testing. These are like the best golf balls of all time in their testing. Number one, the 2021 Pro V1. Number two is the 2022 Tour Response Stripe, baby.
Oh, nice.
Three, 2021 Pro V1X. Then the 2019 Pro V1X Left Dash. And then the 2021 Maxfly Tour X. We can talk about that.
I've heard great things about the new Maxfly ball. Lexi can just sign with them.
Yeah. The 2020 Wilson Staff, the 2023 Maxfly Tour S, the 2002 Titleist AVX, and the 2002 Chrome Soft XLS. So,
how do you
have the I'd have to look and see what that means, but
I noticed.
I don't even know like how you would get those balls if you wanted them.
I noticed Callaway like never makes My Golf Spy list, and I wonder why that is. Because in my opinion, the LS is I was leaning into that. The LS, I mean, I liked it, but it was not as good as the X. It didn't feel as good. Like, you know what I mean? Even number-wise, it wasn't as good, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've noticed, like, if you always go through My Golf Spy, you see a lot of the same brands over and over again.
Yeah.
I think they're being bought and paid for, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to, you know, we all know Ari, who is a curated expert and, like, a golf, like, savant, basic golf equipment savant, and
golf IQ freaking roof.
Yeah, I was talking to him about that, and he said, I mean, again, I don't know if he would care if we name drop this or not, but you know, I don't think he would. But you know, like he just mentioned, like, you know, it's I brought up the point that it seems odd to me that what you're saying, PGR, is like all of these same brands end up on these lists that don't end up on any other lists, right? Like the sub 70s, the new decades, you know, they end up, I think it was on like the, I want to say it was on Player Distance Irons, and it was like the Strixon ZX5, the Mizuno J like 225 or the JPX Forged. And then it was like sub 70, new decade, some very random brands mixed in there. And I was just like, you're trying to tell me, you know, and again, like, bias like aside of like your favorite brands, but I was like, you can't tell me that like the new decade iron is better than like the P790. I don't know if that is true every single year, or the Titleist or those kinds of things. Like, it almost seems like they put a couple of big brands in there to like legitimize the list because they know, and then it's just like, you know, hey, new decade, or we have these like underground deals with these brands that we're going to like throw their stuff in there. It just seems very odd to me. Like, it's just up to your point that there's all of a sudden these random, not that those aren't good, you know, sub 70 can be very good. I think it's whatever, but I just find it weird.
It's the whole Tacoma thing. The Tacoma was the best example of this. And I'm going to have a little bit of hate here for this. Tacoma heads, from my understanding and from the same exact source of you, are basically a forged head that you can buy for $15.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what they are. Now, I will say this. Do I think golf technology with a lot of these forged clubs have come a very long way to the point where you don't need to spend hundreds of dollars on a head for it to be good? Absolutely. You know, I think if you're going for a basic forged head, I think anybody can manufacture that now and have a good iron, just because that's just where technology is now. But I don't believe for one damn second that Tacoma is better or as good as some of these premium clubs that have been pumping out technology for years. Like, you're telling me some brand out of nowhere just decided to make forged clubs, and all of a sudden they're getting more recognition than brands like even like Mura. You know what I mean? You never see Mura on these lists, and we all know how good their irons are.
Yeah.
You can't say a negative thing about Mura irons, but they never end up on the list.
Yeah.
Brady, you know what Cuomo is? Like, get real. Like, get out of here.
I know.
It's a joke to me, and I hate it because it's a social media thing, and you have kids come onto the platform all the time. But what about Tacoma? I'm like, they're garbage. They're not good. They're like, yeah, but like Rick Shee, well, these person said, I'm like, you don't know how this industry works, kid. Like, you know, like they are paying people to say this. You know what I mean?
I didn't know much about them, but yeah, Ari helped out with that, and
yeah, when you have a set of irons for $400 and it costs you $150 to make, you know, get me whatever, just annoying.
I do think it's Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I've, you know, I think we've met the people, like the, some of the guys behind my golf spy, and they were like, they were super nice. You know, I don't want to like disparage them in any way, but at the same time, like, I just, you know, like, I'm just looking at like the best players distance irons for 2023, right? Number one is the Strixon ZX5. Number two, guys, is the, how do you say it? Like, Inesis, or I-N-E-S-I-S. And we have like a set of theirs, like their like beginner set. They got number two, New Level got number three, Mizuno Pro 225 got number four, and then 14 Golf got number five. And I mean, like,
wow,
I have a really hard time believing. And like, I had played the Mizuno 225, and I'm not saying Mizuno is like the top iron every single year, but I just, you cannot tell me that Inesis is beating out Mizuno in the forged iron category. Like, I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just like, so the only two brands, you know, the only well-known brands on there are Strixon and Mizuno. There's no Titleist. There's no TaylorMade. There's no Cobra. There's no Callaway. There's just like, you're telling me all of these brands have forged irons figured out over these top brands?
And Ping. Yeah, all of them.
And Ping, right. There's no Ping on there either. So it's just like, oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah, I've never hit the Inesis or the 14s. I want to just to see
the Inesis set. I have. I will say this. I did a review for Curated for it. For a beginner set, it is very, very efficient. I really like it for something to learn the game on. Between the grips, the grips have like the alignment for your hand. They're super blocky and game improvement. Like, they are as straightforward as it gets for learning the game. I will give them credit for that. Like, the way that they did it was very, 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 very smart.
Mizuno.
Yeah, now they have forged irons, which is just interesting. I don't know.
I didn't hit that. I mean, I hit their beginner set.
Okay. Yeah.
The 225 should be at the top of the, or 245s. They're yeah. So sick.
I know. Again, I've been made, and I hate to be that way, but I'm just like, you know, or Mira, something in that area. Like, the Mizuno is, like, year in, year out, has to be one of the best iron makers in the world. Like, just their forging process is so good that I can't understand how you can, like, I just can't imagine, how do you say it, Inesis or whatever it is. There's no way, I just cannot see their forging process being better, unless there is something behind the scenes that we don't know about. Like, they're all made in the same factory and we're just putting different names on them,
mm-hmm.
which is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I just think that those rankings, either they're the geniuses and they have it on, you know what I mean? Either they're the one website that has been able to like sift through all the BS. And it's like, these are literally the best ones because they're the only website saying like those ones are the best ones. Right? I don't know. Maybe I need to look at more websites. I see the other ones mentioned. Like, if you go to Golf's, whatever, the gold, silver list.
Golf Digest.
Golf Digest. Thank you. You'll see those in there, but you'll see everything else in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's interesting. But again, we kind of got off on a tangent there, a little bit of a rant.
That's what we do.
Anyways, Anthony Kim is coming to Live Golf.
Yeah. So
let's talk about it real quick.
I'm crazy.
I'm in. We're all in. I think we're all in. We were the Anthony Kim generation, besides being the Tiger Woods generation. So it means absolutely nothing to younger kids now or younger guys now. I don't think it means anything to them that Anthony Kim is coming. But for us, that's kind of just like, he's like the, what is he, like the ghost, like the recluse coming out of hiding.
As long as he wears that big belt buckle, I need to see it.
Do you think he's going to keep that look? Just like, it's patented, I have to go with it, even though
his swag is still there. That range pick of him hitting balls, he was wearing those baggy pants and a hoodie. Mm-hmm. I need it.
Yeah.
I want to see the walkthroughs. I loved it. Do you remember the walkthrough shots he used to hit?
Yeah.
Sure.
When he would load up on a wood and he would literally walk through the entire thing and spin around. Like, I need that back. I need that. He was so much fun to watch. He was amazing. He made golf so entertaining. And the way he took down Sergio was just epic, too. So, like, Sergio was so pissed.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I wonder if he'll even compete. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think he competes? Do you think he even has the game? What are you guys' predictions for Anthony Kim going to live?
I think he stumbles at first. I think he'll be fine. I don't think he'd be coming back if the amount of money that he's going to have to pay back to break the insurance policy and all that other stuff. I don't think he'd be coming back if he didn't think there was something to it. You know what I mean? Because you're foregoing hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, I think Liv will cover that.
Well, yeah, it depends on what the contract is for him, too. If Liv is covering it, that makes it. But, yeah, I mean.
No risk.
Yeah, with no cuts, he's going to bring eyes. You know what I mean? Like, I watched my very first Liv event when DJ won it and in Vegas. And it was funny because DJ won this individual and Kepka's team won the team event, which is very fitting. Those guys winning in Vegas. But I will say this. It was different than watching the PGA Tour in the sense where it was constant excitement. You know what I mean? Because the leaderboard is changing. Like, there's a live leaderboard just changing constantly. So you have the team down here and the team kept changing. And then you're like, oh, and then you're starting to like, all of a sudden you're paying attention to players that you may not be paying attention to because they're on a team that is starting to go up the leaderboard. So even though you have a guy that's one over right now, most guys might tap out. So this is where I kind of changed my mentality with the whole, like, oh, they're not playing hard. You know, most guys on the PGA Tour, and I'm not going to say that if you're shooting 3 over for an event, you kind of stop trying. But with Liv, guess what? If your team is one stroke back, say you're having a bad day, you can still hunker down and go birdie, birdie, and get your team over the finish line. Right. So it's just real interesting because you're watching guys that are 1 or 2 over when you never typically watch on the PGA Tour. And you're like, if you're kind of rooting for them, like, man, I hope you close strong here, because if you close strong, then your team wins. Like, you have that going on. And then you have the individual stuff going on up here. And DJ finished a clutch. I think he finished it. He birdied the second to last hole to take the lead and then hit this incredible shot on the last hole to par it to win the event. So it was just fun watching it happen in real time. It is, it's different. I understand the hesitation for it. But if you allow yourself to get into it, like if you take away the bias and the feelings you have towards Liv and just push all that out and watch it for what it is very entertaining. Like, it for golf is faster paced. You're rooting for people that you're not typically rooting for in certain scenarios. It kind of turns golf into a little bit more of a chess game. As far as, you know what I mean? It's a different way of looking at it. And it's entertaining to say the least.
Yeah.
Also, seeing Bryson and Rahm and DJ in the final group, like, who doesn't want to watch those three battle it out, you know? Bryson played abysmally. After shooting a 62, he shot like 74 the next day.
Oh, Bryson. Brady, to start with you, what are your guys' thoughts on Tiger, withdraw, Shank, future? We can't leave without talking about that real quick.
I know. It's sad. I feel like
we're gonna
see a lot of that going forward with any tournament that he enters. It's like, all right, let's just get to the finish line and make sure we can finish the last putt on Sunday. But yeah, that was a bummer. Is his next tournament the Masters, or is he playing before that?
Yeah, we don't know.
So right now, it was supposed to be the Players originally, from what people were saying. He was in play Riv. Play the Players, then play the Masters. He withdrew from Riv. So there's a lot of conversation going that he may play at Bay Hill, the Players, and then the Masters. No, obviously, no one's going to know until Tiger announces it, you know, but the whole
probably
Tiger thing for
Players.
Go ahead.
Probably just the Players. I feel like his plan was just the majors and maybe a couple others to prep for it. So I don't see him playing twice.
I heard him playing playing at least one event a month. I heard 8 to 12 events.
That'd be a lot.
That's what I heard originally. And because he said he said he was surprised with how good he felt, like his body-wise. You know what I mean? I mean, ultimately, we don't know. I don't even think he knows, to be honest with you. I think if he goes out and plays an event and he can recover quickly and recover well, I don't see why he wouldn't. I think he's learning this as we're learning it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But the whole Tiger thing on Sunday, and this is where I'm going to get a little heated here, so just a little warning. I was so pissed at social media that day because everyone's saying, oh, he needs to hang it up. Oh, he's faking the flu and all of this stuff. And I'm like, do you not realize who he is? Like, you know, like, first off, if it wasn't for Tiger, we wouldn't have any of this stuff. He can withdraw from every damn event. It doesn't matter. He's earned it. If there's any player that has earned to do whatever they want, it's him. And it's funny because everybody wants to ride his coattails. And I was like, oh, Tiger, when he's winning, everyone's celebrating. Everyone's happy. He withdraws from an event and he's like, oh, you need to go to the Champions Tour. I'm like, how can you treat an individual that way, let alone one of the greatest golfers of all time? You know, you're all high on him when he's doing well, but when he's not playing well and entertaining you, like Dance Monkey Dance, you just tell him to get out of here. Like, it's ridiculous to me. Like, have some freaking respect. And these are obviously people that don't realize what he did for the game or like how much he changed it. Like, it's just insanity to me, the amount of disrespect they have for him. You know what I mean? After every injury he's gone through, the amount of things he's gone through and come out on the other side of it, he's batting 1,000, by the way. He has overcome every single obstacle in his way up to this point.
Yeah. I think that's just social media, though.
But it's just ridiculous the amount of people out there that are just so... I mean, I've heard it from people even like in like circles of people talking like, oh, he's old. He needs to give it up. I'm like, if you watched him play, he has the ball speed. His irons were pretty freaking incredible. Those two birdies and the two par threes were remarkable because their par threes are not easy. He was putting well. Chipping is always the thing. It's the one thing he struggled with the most in the most recent years. You know what I mean? But he has the skill set. It's there. There's no doubt about it. I think if he plays consistently, he can compete. There's no reason why he couldn't, especially on the right course. Like, I like him at Bay Hill. I like him at the Masters. You know, get him in a right open course. I think he competes.
Yeah, I think for the Riviera thing, for me, it wasn't so much that he withdrew. It was just like the series of events and of like, okay, he shanks it on Friday. Then, you know, he blames the shank on his back when it's like, was it your back or is the fact that we just all shank balls sometimes? Like, just say you shanked the ball. I just think like the thing that Tiger, the only thing that I will say, you know, not to like get on the hate wagon, is that I feel like sometimes Tiger's an excuse maker. Like he has an excuse for everything instead of just like, hey, I just shanked the ball. That's well, my glutes didn't activate, my back didn't activate, I have influenza, which is fine. But then like the spectacle of it with like the ambulance and the fire truck showing up and that kind of thing, I'm just like, I don't know. I think sometimes it's hard to be like, we go through this every single tournament. I mean, I'm a huge Tiger fan. I'm not trying to like disparage the guy. I love him and all those kinds of things. I think that's just where the backlash came from.
Yeah.
It was just like this series of events that just seems very like, I think I understand why people have a hard time believing it, because it does appear, regardless if he's not, it appears that he's like making an excuse. Like, I'm not playing well. So now my back's going to lock up. Now I have the flu. Now I can't play anymore. So and I think that's where people are frustrated.
For me, it's, you know, a counter argument to this is I think with the whole like, oh, glutes aren't activating, this didn't do this. I think Tiger's so much a feel player. He says his hands. His golf IQ is through the roof.
Sure.
I think he can feel things that other people aren't feeling. So when he says my glutes aren't activating, half the time people don't realize that what your glutes do for your golf swing. You know what I mean? So for people to hear that, they're like, well, that whatever, that's not. I'm like, no, trust me. Like, as a golfer who has lower back issues, you know when you're not activating the muscles that you're supposed to be activating and how it can throw off your golf swing, especially when it is your golf swing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I think he just has an awareness of certain things in his swing, in his body, that other golfers do not have. So yeah, it may come off as an excuse, but when your whole golf swing is developed around feel, and it's developed around knowing what muscles do what, and he does it consistently. And when it does not do it, he feels it and he's aware of it, where other golfers may be experiencing the exact same thing, but they just aren't aware that that's the problem. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I think just the optical though, like Rory, he's a total field player. And if he hits a bad shot, he doesn't go to the, oh, this muscle wasn't working on that shot. It's, yeah,
true, but Rory doesn't have the injuries Tiger has. I think also with Tiger has the injuries, and two, Tiger is and rightfully so, in self-preservation mode. If he feels his body potentially going in the wrong direction, he's not, you know, 30 anymore. He has to take his foot off the gas and just go, no, because it's not worth him potentially getting severely injured and not and taking himself out of the season again. You know what I mean? Where I think 10 years ago, he'd power through it, no issue. But now I think he's like, man, I'm one body part away from never being able to play again. So if he right. starts feeling these things act up, he's like, no, I won't play for 3 weeks because I want to be able to play in 5 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do. I totally get what you're saying. I think the frustration for me watching him too is just like he keeps saying that, and then he's like, I'm good. I'm ready to go. My body feels great. And then he lasts 23 holes. Do you know what I mean?
Also, just be his mindset though. I mean, it's like when you're sick and you're like you're trying to power through a cold. You're like, I'm fine, as you're hacking up your lung. You know what I mean? I mean, is mind over matter? Yeah. You know what? I think a part of it is like, I'm good. I mean, hell, he could be telling himself that just so.
Yeah.
He believes that he's fine. You know what I mean? We're all guilty of that. So,
sure.
You know, also, he probably doesn't want all the attention being brought on him. The more he says negative about his body, he could just give you a 99% raving review about everything. And he can give you a fraction of a percentage of doubt. Everybody is going to grab onto that fraction of a percentage of doubt and run with it. I think it's more of like a PR thing. Like, it's not smart on his end to go out there and be forthcoming because the media does not treat him fairly when he is.
Yeah. I mean, devil's advocate again. Yeah. They didn't treat him that well when he wasn't forthcoming either. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
yeah,
he might be damned if you do, damned if you don't, to your point of like, it doesn't matter what he says. Mm-hmm. He could withdraw from the flu. He could tough it out and shoot 85 or whatever. And it's just like, he's not going to win. He's not going to win with the media or, you know, golf Twitter, unless he wins. Like, he's got to win tournaments, and if he doesn't do that, then
And ever since COVID happened too, you know, people used to, you know, even just going to work, if you had a cold or something like that, you would still go to work. Now he was in a situation, he had the flu, he goes out there and keeps playing. Oh, he's getting other people sick. Okay, I'm gonna withdraw from the tournament because I feel like garbage. Oh, well, you're weak, you shouldn't have withdrew from the tournament. Like, Wait, what are we going to do here, guys? Like, no matter what you do, what he does, he's going to get criticized. Like you said, to your point, Ryan, unless he wins, he's going to get criticized. He could finish in second place in a tournament and play well, and they're like, oh, he's not Tiger of old. He would have won that. Like, it's just,
yeah.
It just,
That's a good point.
He gets so much heat. And the reason why I don't like all the heat is because after everything he's done for the game, and as much as he's won and as much as he's overcome, we're focusing on all these small failures that he's had of recent years due to injuries. And all of a sudden now we're like, we're going to beat down on him, like punch down. I'm like, dude, like he could walk away from golf tomorrow and be completely fine. The fact that he's even somewhat in the picture, we should be grateful for. And there's enough division in golf right now with Liv and the PGA Tour and Jay Monahan and all of this stuff going on right now. I'm at a point where I am just done with it. I'm done with the hate. I'm done with the negativity. Bring everybody back together. Like, let's just stop this nitpicking and hating on each other. Let's bring golf back together. Let's make a better product. I mean, PGA Tour is losing sponsors left and right. This is not good for the PGA Tour. And the people hating on it is not making it better. The fans, we kind of have an obligation to make this work. I mean, we have to do our end of it as well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're contributing to the negativity and the divide, then you're not helping. And I don't want to be a part of that. You know, I don't think anything we say is going to change that.
What's that? I don't think anything that we say or people say on Instagram or social media or even the media is going to change a thing. It's all
the money between
PIF and PGA.
Yes and no. I think, you know, golf has gotten so big and it is a good thing. The problem is it's brought in a lot of people that don't treat the game with respect. You know what I mean? It's like a hobby. Like the number was like, there's more people now playing top golf than actually playing rounds of golf. You know what I mean? I just think there's a lack of golf IQ out there because people that used to play golf and get into golf were really into golf. And now people are like, oh, I go to Top Golf. I can hit a 7-iron 210 yards. I know everything about the game. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even Phil.
That's always going to be the golf Twitterverse, you know, it's like, yeah. I think I know everything. And the people who know everything don't know anything to them. So it's just, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah.
I just think the golf community has changed so much, and I think that has a lot to do. But even Mickelson said, he recently said a couple of days ago, he was just like, we need to let all this go, guys. And I think some of the pros, like someone like Mickelson who started up Animosity, needs to be coming out and saying that. You know what I mean? Like, guys, let it go. Stop talking about it. You just stop making this work. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the fans bickering makes it any better.
Right. No, I mean, that's, you're right, for sure. All right, well, hopefully we see Tiger soon. Players, Masters. Let's see him get through, you know, at least 36. Anyways, anybody else?
Reds. I want to see what he brings back. I love the throwback that he wore for Riviera, that shirt he wore on the second day. And there was a thing on Instagram going like, oh, vintage Tiger looks we hope they bring back with Sunday Red. And I was going through the pictures. I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be so cool. Like, I usually don't spend a lot of money on apparel because I don't, one, I don't have to. But two, like those shoes, the Sunday Red shoes were absolutely sick. I want some so bad. I mean, I am a fan of the Sunday Red. I want to see the throwback fits. It's going to be hard to not buy them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be buying
them. I think so too. I will be buying them as well. Even though like at first, I mean, it's been growing on me. At first I was like, I think we can do better. It kind of looked like a fish skeleton to me.
I won't be able to unsee that now. So
it does. I mean, like, you know, I did. Well, I saw somebody on Instagram that said, if you turn the cat this way, it looks like his fused vertebra.
Yeah.
That was absolutely hilarious.
That's so funny. That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. If you just turn it this way, it looks like a fused vertebra, which I thought was funny. But yeah, I mean, it's weird. You know, that's just the power of Tiger. It's just like, we can all say we don't like it or it could have been better. And then we're still going to go buy it. So that's what he's banking on. He's like, I don't think he really cares if you like what it looks like, because he knows you're going to buy it and it's going to sell out in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So
it looked better on. So when you saw just the logo, you're always like, I didn't dislike it, but it's not what I expected. But when you saw it on the apparel and him wearing it and like all the little fine details on like the paint, the jackets, the shoes, then it looked a lot better. I think it looked a lot better when you saw it in application opposed to just seeing the logo. Does that make sense?
I agree. That black hoodie is my, I want that so bad.
Yeah. Dude,
the hoodies in the back, 100%.
I think it did. You know, I saw that. I think I was talking to Brady about this, or maybe it was, I think it was Brady, but, you know, it was like you said, like I saw those pictures that were coming out about the event and I was just like, I'm not that impressed with it. And then you saw Tiger walk out with like his hoodie on and his hat. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I guess it looks good. Like if you're chiseled, that stuff looks pretty good on you.
does.
Yeah. So I was going to say like, it looks better. It does look better on. There are times like when he was like wearing the sweater, like he had that sweater with it. And I was just like, the logo's almost too small for his like chest, and like with that placement, it almost would look better like on the breast pocket or something, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So while there are some places where I'm like, that almost looks like too small for the garment that it was put on. Such a minor detail, but
I like that centered look though, and I think I like it because it's different, because everybody does the same thing with their logo, same spot on every shirt. You know what I mean? Yeah. I kind of like the Tigers, you know, like, no, it's front and center in the center of your chest kind of thing. Like, it's different. I think, you know, it kind of, it'll bring some options in for other apparel companies to maybe take more risks and things like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's different. And I think that's what makes it so good. You know what I mean? Like I said, in application, it looks a lot better than just staring at the Sunday Red logo.
Yeah. Fits better than Malbon, so he's still going to look better than Jason Day. That's for sure.
Dude, I love Malbon, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. We won't go down that rabbit. We're already at an hour, so I think we're going to wrap up. We can talk Malbon hate again next episode, but anybody closing thoughts? Good.
That's all I guess.
No closing thoughts. Mexico opens this week. Not the strongest feel, but some cool stuff happening. Fina had 2 eagles and 9 holes yesterday, which was pretty cool. He's only 4, and he only shot 4 under on the day, so we know how we got to that number.
All right, Anthony Kim coming back, so we're going to have to watch that. I think we're all going to have to watch that just out of curiosity. Maybe the first event that we all watch in the same week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm all saying, right. I know you guys don't want to watch Liv. I just...
I don't have... I'll watch it. I just... It's not that I don't want to watch it. I didn't find it interesting. It was hard to keep my attention with it just because I didn't. I mean, you know, you're a diehard golf watcher. I tried to be. It's hard. It's harder when Tiger isn't in the field. To me, it's hard to keep my attention. When he's on, I will watch his featured group. Even if he's not in the mix, I'll watch it from every shot, beginning to end. I'll watch the Masters. I'll watch all the majors. And I will watch a tournament. Like, you know, we have this. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I think the more people that have, like, left, it's harder to watch for me when there's not a lot. Like, Mexico is going to be hard for me because there's just not a lot writing on it for to, like, hold my attention. I will have it on, like, in the background this afternoon and stuff like that. But it's hard for me to, like, set that time aside to have it on when I'm just like, I can't get into it. That's just, I mean, but I don't know. I just can't do it.
For me, I think the reason why I like watching the smaller events, though, is because it is a very good springboard for a lot of players that you typically don't hear about. I mean, if you look at how Colin Morikawa got his first win, he got his first win at the Barracuda, and it was an offshoot of, it was a tournament going on, well, like a WGC event was going on or something like that. But that was his first win, and he won it in clutch fashion, by the way. And then he went on to just that breakthrough win is what made Morikawa's career, more or less, you know. The one thing I like about the smaller events is you get these players that get springboarded. And I don't know. I like watching it happen in real time. Like, I saw the tournament where Morikawa got his first win and started going on a tear. You know what I mean? For the European guys is a big deal. Maybe getting their first tour win. Someone like Hogard. Like, I've been waiting week in and week out for that kid to win a PGA Tour event. Like, you have no idea how much I've been rooting for this freaking kid. But then again, like me, like I like watching, like I'll be watching the Mexico Open all day today. You know what I mean? Like I thoroughly enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also for these guys, it's important to them. It's important to them because they get tour status if they win an event or whatever it might be. So to me, you know, I root for all of them just because as an athlete, they put so much work in, and I think it's only fair to, like, going back to the respect for the game and respect for the players. Like, I have a lot of respect for these guys, even the guys that aren't household names, like to be out there doing this week in, week out, sleeping in a van, like for that guy to get a win, it's just an awesome experience.
100% agree. Yep. All right. Well, thanks guys for everybody for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking. I think Cobra Darkspeed is going to be our next episode. And then we have some exciting, we're not going to reveal names yet, but I know we have some exciting interviews coming up, maybe with some bigger names. So that should be super exciting. We'll release those here coming up as well. So thanks for watching. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, you know, sign us to lucrative brand deals, club deals, whatever you guys want to do, you know.
Just throw it out.
Spots for us to play in events, whatever, you know. Good Desert Classic next year would be fun. Whatever you guys want to do. If you're listening,
those clowns.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.